Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Spiritual Integration with Carrie Alter, speaking from Marin County, California, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge, on Tuesday, the 26th of January. Last week we spoke about relationship, and this week I want to speak about another aspect of relationship. And that's relationship to yourself as well as relationship to others. And this aspect I want to speak about is commitment. And my commitment in this show is to constantly be talking about things that will help people to find how to connect with their own selves at a deeper level, with their own spiritual self, because we get so busy in our lives that it becomes all about the doingness, and we get up and we go to work or we run our errands or take care of the kids or whatever we're doing in our lives. It's like we just forget. We just don't take the time to remember that we have a body, and that body has a spiritual a juice that runs that body. There's a spiritual juice that runs the body. And that juice requires for us to tap into it in order to stay juicy. Otherwise, it starts to get, like, dehydrated. And then our lives start to get dehydrated. So we need to constantly be remembering ourselves. And I talk in every show about the importance of being the observer of self. And you can always tell that you're losing contact if you notice contraction in your body. You can notice that you're losing contact if you start to feel distant. And then we want to just stop and tune in again and drop down inside. So I'm going to ask you right now to take stock of how it feels to be you in this moment. Just breathing, taking a deep breath, and just seeing, how does it feel to be me in this moment? And you don't even need to have words to go along with that. So just getting a feeling of it. Where does the body feel relaxed? Where does it feel tight? Where does it feel like it doesn't feel? That's another way. That's the distance that I'm talking about. Sometimes we can't feel it. And I'm going to start with a meditation right off the bat. I'm going to start by taking you in just to bring everybody present, because maybe you were rushing around before you turned on this radio show and tuned in. So just take a moment. Feeling the back of your body, because we tend to lose contact with that part of ourselves first. Feeling the back of your head, back of your neck. And we're going to do this every week, everybody who tunes in, until you get so good at it that you can do it really fast, because that's what happens. The more you do it, the faster you get at it. So feeling the back of your upper back. Can you feel your shirt touching your upper back? Feeling the mid-back. Feeling the mid-back. I can feel a lot of people out there not feeling the mid-back. Thank you. That's good. And now the lower back. All the way down to the hips. You know, sometimes the mid-back is the hardest to feel, because, you know, it's there, is the back of the heart. And then there are all those little aches and pains of the heart that we tend to pull away from. And that's why sometimes we don't feel that. The mid to sort of in between the upper and mid back is that heart. So breathing all the way down along the back into the hips and letting your awareness run down the arms and the legs and into the earth, letting it run into the earth. Okay, now coming back and joining me again. You can open your eyes if you close them for that. You get so good at that. You can do it really fast. You can do it without closing your eyes. But at first, sometimes it's really helpful to close the eyes to allow it to come on. That feeling of, yes, I have a body. And yes, there's somebody home. And really, the first level of commitment is that, to notice that you have a body and that you want to be home in the body. So you are a soul who has come to spend this time in this body. And so many of us are not fully committed to this experience. So you picture this, that you're in the womb, and you start to get a sense of what it's going to be like to come here into this life and how this life is a place that can be a very hard place to be at times. And then so many people start to feel in the womb, oh, was this really a good idea? And then part of your commitment to be here just starts to dissolve. And then you get born, and as you have more and more difficult experiences, you can pull away from that body. And you, when you joined up with that body, there was a commitment that was supposed to take place. So I want to ask everybody right now to just slide into your body, to imagine just settling down and sliding in. And there's a wonderful book called Journey of Souls, Dr. Michael Newton. And he talks, somebody in that book who he's talking to says, oh, when you come into the body, it's like putting on a glove, like sliding into a glove. It's like sliding into a custom-made glove where somebody took your measurements first. And this body is designed specifically for you to live in while you're here. So allowing yourself to live in this body. And all the things that happen with our body, our different illnesses that come up, our weight gains and weight losses, and just different accidents that happen to the body, all those things are messages that the body is trying to give us. They all carry messages showing us our resistance to being here, showing us different places where we've store the different pains of life in the body so that we, because we didn't want to be present with them. Well, this is, again, about commitment. So the commitment to self is to have the experiences of the body. I've joined with the body. There's like a braiding. When you come into the, when the soul comes into the body, there's like a braiding that takes place. The soul and the body braiding together and becoming one being. And yet they're always like two beings, and yet they're always one being. It's like both are true at the same time. They're two beings because it's the soul and it's the body. It's like two separate things, and yet there's nothing such a thing as separate because everything is only the one thing. We're all one, and everything is made from the oneness, so nothing can really be separate. It's only the illusion. So this braiding together into the one being, and this one being is your little Scotty dog that you play your little Monopoly game of life with. This is your piece that you move around the board. So if we take this game level, this game analogy, if you're not moving your little Scotty dog around the board, you're not playing the game. And you're not going to have any fun. So you have to own your Scotty dog. And how do you do that? By being really present, by being the observer of self. And that's what we're doing on this radio show, is learning how to be more present with the self. And by constantly doing these little five-minute check-ins, we go, do I still have a body? Can I tell that I have a body? Right now, in this moment, can you feel the backs of your knees? What about the insides of your eyelids? The back of your neck? Feel the hairs coming through the holes in your scalp that they come through. How about your little toes? How about the arch under your toes? So just remembering that you have a body that calls forth presence in that way. And as we remember to be present, that calls forth divinity to join us and makes our life so much easier because it lights our fire. It's divinity that lights this fire of our life. When we're not here in the body, divinity loses interest and moves away. Not that it really ever can go anywhere, but in the sense of the illusion of this being, this braided being that we're creating in the illusion of our everyday lives, because the reality is that we are the oneness. The illusion is that we have these Scotty dog pieces called the body, whatever your name is, that's the name of your Scotty dog piece that you're moving around the game of life. So owning that piece that has your name on it, owning that piece by staying present with it again and again. And it's simply a habit that needs to be developed because we have developed the habit of drawing away. So we leave part of ourselves in our body and part of ourselves goes other places. It moves into the past. It moves into the future. Goes back to planning, goes into what ifs. So what if we're just present right now, then divinity comes and joins us in a way that lights our fire. And I said that already, I want to say it again, lights our fire. So the first level of commitment is to the self. It's this, to be present in the body. And being the observer of self is how we notice that we're not present. Every time I check, I'm not present. If I'm present, it wouldn't even occur to me to check because I'm already here. I'm already here living my life instead of thinking about my life. Feel the difference between living your life and thinking about your life. So if you're jumping in the waves of the ocean, say you're where are you, in Costa Rica or Hawaii, and you're jumping in the waves of the ocean, there's no time for thought. You're like right there, present with the splash of the wave and the warmth of the sun, and you're right there. You're present. And in that moment, there's a fullness and an aliveness that comes forth. But then you're in your car and you're driving, you're thinking about what happened yesterday and you're thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. Or else you're watching a movie and you're caught up in this fantasy on the screen and you're thinking about that. I mean, in either case, like not present. So many ways we have of being not present. Not that it isn't appropriate sometimes to have entertainment, but as I see it, way too many people have way too much entertainment. And it's an escape. An escape from what? An escape from being present. Why is it so hard to be present? What is it about that? Coming forth, it's like there's like a fire. There's a fire. This fire of aliveness. It has such an intensity that we pull away from it. We came here to have this life, and yet so often we don't want to feel the feelings that come with this life. We don't want to deal with what comes up. And yet the ideas around what comes up produce anxiety or fear or different emotions that if we just be present with what comes up, we just deal with it. You just put one foot in front of the other. Whatever comes up, you deal with it. So when you're committed to your own self, you're coming back again and again to this life that you not just agreed to have, that you asked for, that you wanted to have, that you went to a great deal of trouble to have. Went to a great deal of trouble to come and be born, to pick a body, to pick parents, to arrange who are you going to incarnate with at the same time. You went to a great deal of trouble to do all that. So the first level of commitment is to self. The second level of commitment is to commit to come forward with that self into your life and into your relationships. That's every relationship. I can't say that strongly enough. Every relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship, a relationship with your children. How many people out there have fathers who weren't fully coming forward into relationships with their children? And thank God there are some fathers who do come forward into their relationships with their children. But so many are using that model, at least in the Western culture, of being so busy at work and then come home and they're tired and there's just not much energy left for those kids. Not much energy left. So we want to be coming forward with the self and then committed to bring that self forward into every relationship that we have. And I'm reminded of a line from the poem from Oriah Mountain Dreamer, The Invitation. She says, "Will you stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back?" And that's what it means to come forward, committed with your own self into relationships. So even if you're tired, and even if you're hungry, and even if you don't feel like talking about all the backlog of resentments that people get from not being present with them when they come up and not dealing with them when they come up, coming forward anyway, even when you don't feel like it, can you commit to come forward anyway? And this is what starts to bring aliveness into your life and stokes the fire in your heart so that your life becomes lit up and way more colorful and more dimensional and more fun to live. And sometimes harder to live, but also more fun to live. So when we pull away from the difficult times of life, from the pains of life and the difficult and uncomfortable moments, we're also pulling away from the joy, because you can only either be present or not be present. If you're not present, you don't know if there's joy there. Just the way you're pulling away from the pain, you pull away from the joy. So a way of living life that you may not have open to becomes unavailable to you to the extent to which you don't come forward into your life. How often do you feel excited about your life? That's how you can tell how much you're bringing forward into your life. Let's see, I'm suddenly remembering that I'm supposed to be giving out the phone number. If anybody wants to call in, and then if any questions come up, you can raise your hand and I'll see them. And the phone number is 347-324-3264. So those are the first two levels of commitment. One is to self, the other is to bring that self forward into every area of your life, every kind of relationship. And I would say this is even to when you're online at the grocery store, to be willing to be present with the checker behind the cash register. I'm going to tell you a story. I've had a number of different spiritual openings in my life, and at one point I had an opening, and my computer had also died at the same time. And I went to bring my computer into the repair place, and I was so spiritually open, and I take my computer and I push it across the counter to the repairman, and I'm totally present as I do it because I've just had this opening. Otherwise, I also come and I go and be as present as I can. Sometimes I'm more present than other times. In that moment, I'm completely present. And the man looks at me and we fall into each other's eyes. And we're in total love in the computer repair shop. We're like in love and we fall into this deep pool of essence. It's like total high. It's like the highest moment that you can get, a total ecstasy just from being present with somebody. As I push my computer across the counter into this man's hands. So these are the levels of interaction that are available to us in every moment. So to be present with each person that you come in contact with, as present as you can possibly be, to bring yourself forward, whether it's a romantic relationship or just a casual relationship. You know, just someone that you've come across, you've gone to a meeting and you're sitting next to somebody, and do you stop and acknowledge that you're sitting next to somebody at the meeting? If you sit down in the movie theater, do you acknowledge that there's a human being sitting on your side? I like to always acknowledge that person. And I say that, you know, I say, hi, I just want to say hello because we're two human beings sitting next to each other. I just want to acknowledge that. And the person is always so grateful because otherwise you're sitting next to each other sort of pretending that you're not. It's such a strange thing to do. I often think how two dogs wouldn't pass by each other on the street without acknowledging each other. And yet as humans, we pass by each other routinely. That's more the norm than the exception. And so the third level of commitment is to support the other person to be who they are. And this would have, you know, in a romantic relationship, this has the fabulous result of putting you both on the same side of whatever line there is. So in relationships, so often people find themselves on opposite sides of an issue. So you might have different needs. And, well, I need this and he needs that. And when your goal is to not only come forward yourself, supporting your own self, but to support the other person in getting what they need, you then find yourself on the same side of the line. And solutions appear that wouldn't otherwise appear. And so this is going to be true in life in general. So when I'm online in the grocery store and I'm meeting the eyes of the clerk behind the counter and I'm acknowledging their presence as a human being, I am supporting them to come forward and acknowledge their own self to their own self. Does that make sense? So the more I'm willing to commit to support my own self and to bring myself forward into my life, the more I give other people space around me, and I sort of model how do you do that, because we don't really know how to do that. We're not taught how to come forward. We're taught how to suppress ourselves so that we can be good students in school and we won't interrupt the class and we won't, you know, the parents are trying to accomplish something, get dressed, it's time to go, get in the car. And so we're taught really to suppress ourselves. And as adults, we have to teach ourselves how to unsuppress ourselves, how to come forward. And that's all part of this commitment. So I see there's a question here, and I'm going to stop for a minute. I'm going to take this question. Caller from area code 301, I'm going to call on you right now. I'm going to unmute you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, hey, hi. Terry, this is Melissa in West Virginia.
Ah, Melissa, well, hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining the call.
Oh, I'm delighted. I went on and downloaded your first two episodes and have been listening to them in the car on my iPod, and I'm just thrilled that the show last week on relationships was wonderful. So I just want to thank you so much. I'm tickled, and this is a great topic for tonight. So,
oh, wonderful! Oh, it's good to know that you can put it on your iPod. I'm not so technical savvy, but now everybody knows. Everybody
who's
listening
knows.
You
can take it with you,
iPod.
absolutely. And let me also say that if you ever have a session where you don't see that you've got anybody on or something like that, I know there was a little technical glitch in the beginning. There was a little bit of time where you were thinking, is anybody out there? You know, bring yourself forward because you never know who's going to look at it later. But I did have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
My issue, and in fact this is real timely because this came up for me just this week, is I had a big epiphany that I have a very different reaction in the way I react to male energy, very, you know, sort of strong energy I'll keep it short. How do you suggest, or what I tend to do is if I am met with sort of with anger or with sort of forcefulness, that sort of animus kind of archetypal male energy, I shrink. I become like the deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with that energy. I don't want to shrink, but I don't want to match it with that same kind of anger. Do you have suggestions for being firm and being strong in the presence of that kind of energy without becoming it yourself?
Right. So, okay, here's what I would say, that the mind right away thinks it knows what the answer is. So the mind thinks the answer would be to be firm and to not match the energy. But we don't know that that's the answer. So I like to not have answers. I find the best place to be.
Okay.
And so what I want to do is I want to be the observer of self. The more I am the observer of self, the faster the issue will diffuse itself. And so this is a time maybe to talk about the structure of addiction. So addiction, and those of us who have an issue with anger, as many, many, many people do, and as I have had, and sometimes still have. So it's very difficult for people when anger or aggressiveness comes forward toward them. So in the beginning, when I first, before I realized I had an issue with anger, I would find out a month later that my husband and I had a fight a month ago.
Now, let me get clarification. When you say you had an issue with anger, is that because you were feeling angry or you had difficulty dealing with it when it came at you?
Right, the same thing that you're talking about. I had difficulty dealing with it when it came at me. And now remember the basic rule, which is that the person on the outside is you.
Right. With no help last week, yeah.
Yes, so the person on the outside is your anger. The one who's coming towards you is your anger.
Okay.
So we're just going to let that lie because it's like we sort of don't know what to do with it. So we're going to pretend that there's really a person on the outside coming towards you with anger. So when I first started to recognize this, a month later, I would realize that the person had been, my husband had been angry toward me, and I had pulled away, deer in the headlights, like you say, I had pulled away. And it took me so long to wake up. So finally, I could see it a few weeks later, and then I could see it a week later, and then I could see it, days later, and then finally I could see it hours later, and then finally I began to be able to see it while it was happening. So
what is it that you saw?
I would see that there was an anger taking place. That's how deer in the headlights I was.
You didn't even notice the anger.
Right. It took me a whole month. I would pull away like a sea anemone that somebody touched. You know how they contract their little feelers. I would just pull away and just act like everything was okay. I didn't even know that anything had happened. I was so unconscious to it all when I first started in my journey about all this. So people who are listening will find themselves at all different ends of the spectrum. So some people know right away anger is happening. Some people will find themselves like me. A month later, you go, whoa, wait a minute. We had a fight a month ago. So it sounds strange to people who are present with their anger. So what happened was that by learning to be the observer of myself, I became closer and closer to being able to be in the moment with it. So if you are present in the moment with it, what you do then is just be honest. That's all you do. You just speak the truth. So the truth is whatever is coming up for you in the moment. So if you say, I feel totally attacked by your anger like a deer in the headlights, and you say that out loud, then that totally stops whatever is happening. So if somebody, so the mind, and because we're taught to be good, especially women, so we're taught, somebody says something, we're taught to answer what they said, but instead of answering what they said, if we speak the truth of what we're feeling in that moment, but in order to find the truth of what you're feeling in the moment, you need to be able to be really present, and that's standing in the center of the fire. The person who's being angry with you, I can guarantee, is not standing in their fire. They're in the past. Because when we're angry, we're never in the present. We're always coming from something that happened in the past.
Oh, right.
Because the anger is a reaction. It's not a response. It's a reaction to something that happened in the past that's gotten triggered. So when you come forward and you're wanting to stand in the center of that fire, will they come forward and stand with you? We don't know. But your job is simply to speak your own truth. So it's like, what's happening for right now? Are you willing to say what's happening for you? And if you do, people don't really want to alienate other people. They don't really want to be pushing each other away. But it's a safety mechanism. When we go into our anger and we push people away, it's like somehow some part of us perceives that we'll be safer from doing that. So they can, even if they don't appreciate it out loud to you in the moment, when you come forward and tell them what's happening, you're saying what you're being aggressive with me. I feel like you're being aggressive. I don't know how, right now it's not happening, so I can't speak the truth of it because it's not happening in the moment. But to speak whatever the truth is, that so say they yell at you and you go, I really feel backed into a corner with that tone of voice that you're using. I feel like I'm backed into a corner. My head locks up. I can't even answer you in a clear way. I can't even give you the information you want, or whatever, whatever is happening. Because when we do move, that's what happens. The adrenaline comes in, and they've actually documented how adrenaline shuts down the mental processes. Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about it, which I highly recommend his work, by the way, Dr. Bruce Lipton. And he's done work in the lab. He's a cellular biologist, where they show that when adrenaline comes out, the brain stops working because you're getting ready for fight or flight. So when somebody's yelling at you, you go dumb.
Right.
And so the best defense is the truth. The truth is, I can't even think straight with that, with your anger coming at me. I can't even think straight. And then when you say that, then you start to, you've had, in order to find that out, in order to say it, you've had to come present with yourself. Mm-hmm. And this little meditation that we did in the beginning, whenever you feel uncomfortable, feel your body.
Oh, okay.
Drop down into your body. Where's my body? I'm starting to get lost. Person's yelling at me. I'm getting lost. Where's my body? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because so many of us, when somebody's yelling at us, we fly away. It's not okay. Safe to be in the body. I'm flying away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good. I'm so happy you called and listened. Nice to hear from you. Okay, I'm going to mute you up again, but feel free to raise your hand again if you get another question.
Okay, no offense.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, did I do that right? Yeah, I did. Okay. So, all right. Let me go back to think where I was at. So, yeah, thanks, Melissa, for that question. So valuable. So the answer is always to every question. The answer is always the same. In some cases, I mean, in some way, it's so simple. The answer is always presence. It's always being the observer of self and speaking the truth. So you can't speak the truth unless you're the observer of self. Otherwise, you're speaking what you're taking as the truth. And, of course, the truth varies according to how observant you're being, because there's all different levels of being the observer of self. So, and we can only be as observant as we can be in the moment. So we may think we're being completely observant, and then a year later we can look back and go, wow, I didn't know how to be the observer a year ago. Now I'm learning how to be the observer. And then the next year we can have that same statement come up again, because we keep, we keep getting better at it as the more we do it. And I don't, as far as I can tell, you know, unless I'm going to come to some place I haven't come to yet, there's an infinite amount of levels of depth to being the observer of self. We get deeper and deeper. So, for instance, you can right now be the observer of yourself sitting on the computer or the phone, as the case may be, and you can watch yourself listening. And you can, then there's another part of yourself who can notice, like, so which is the part of yourself that noticed that you were on the phone or the computer? So it's like the observer of the observer, the observer of the self, and then there's an observer of the observer. Well, if you're able to notice the part of yourself that noticed that you were on the computer or on the phone, which is the part of yourself that noticed that you were noticing the part of yourself that was the observer or on the phone? So in other words, there's an observer of what's happening in your life right now, of your movie that's taking place. And then there's the one who observed the observer. And then there's the part of you that's observing, that noticed the observer of the observer. And there's an observer of the observer of the observer. And as far as I can tell, those go back to an infinite number of levels, all the way just into the infiniteness, into the oneness, an infinite number of levels of observer. So I think throughout a lifetime, you can continually be getting to deeper and deeper levels of being the observer as you fall away into the oneness, because they do. You can only go, if you sit with yourself and practice that, you eventually, your brain gets so stretched that you just sort of fall back into the oneness. Or that's been my experience anyway. So I want to talk about something else about commitment, which is that there's also commitment to ideas. So when you have commitments to goals and ideas, maybe you've heard it been said, before commitment, I don't remember the exact words or who said it or what, but before commitment, there are obstacles. And after commitment, this is my paraphrasing, after commitment, everything flows. So what does that really mean? So it means before you've made a commitment to something that you say you want, different obstacles will rise up in the way of it. And those obstacles are the natural matching of your own resistant energy. So they're little messages coming to you saying, you have counter messages going on in your subconscious mind. That's what they're telling you. So, for instance, some people might think they want to be in relationship, or somebody might have a business and think they want to be successful in that business. Somebody might think they want more money. But in the subconscious mind, there are other goals. So, for instance, somebody might think they want more money, but they might have received messages when they were growing up that it wasn't safe to have a lot of money. If you have money, somebody will kidnap your children, or people with money are mean to other people. You'll be a bad person if you have money. And, you know, those are kind of common money messages that people who don't have money have going on in their subconscious. Or somebody who thinks they want a relationship, but it doesn't feel safe to have a relationship. Maybe they had, when they looked at their parents' relationship, it didn't look like a safe thing. And so in the back of their mind, you know, in their subconscious, they have messages going on about not safe to have relationships. So even though the personality wants a relationship and is very clear about that, there's a commitment to the subconscious messages. So uncovering those unconscious commitments, the unseen commitments, so you can always tell where those commitments lie by looking at your life in that same way that I'm just saying. So if you think you want money or a relationship and you don't have those things, or success in your career and you don't have those things, somewhere there's a message in your unconscious mind that it's unsafe for whatever reason. And so your commitment is to safety. And then my question becomes, would you be willing to let go of the commitment to safety in order to have what you are saying that you want? And that's a whole other issue. And that's difficult to do on your own. And that's why people go to healers. I'm going to give myself a little plug here, and any other healers that you might know. I'm going to give the whole healing profession and counseling profession a plug, that it's hard to do that kind of work on your own because it's subconscious. And so that's the kind of thing you can uncover in private session work. And I see that there's another question here. Melissa, I'm going to call on you again. Let's see. Here we go.
Okay, no, it's not me.
Is that you, Melissa?
Well, I didn't push a button. I think it's another one.
Oh, okay, because your hand is raised. Okay, so anybody who's called in, if you want to, okay, I'm going to mute you again. Bye.
Yeah, it's me.
Okay. If you want to raise your hand, push the 1 button. You call in on the number 347-324-3264, and then push the 1 button. And that will appear like a little raised hand on my screen here. Okay. Yeah. So those subconscious messages, those are the ones that are really running our lives. So the ideas that our personality gets, oh, we get such good ideas and we have such good plans, and if only, and we lay the whole thing out and we think that something is going to unfold the way we have it scheduled out, the way we've written it out, and we've made our five-year plan or whatever. But what's really running our lives and what we're really, where our commitment really is to what's going on in the subconscious mind. So, for instance, somebody who's a late person, for instance, and I can say this because I have been a late person for most of my life, and I have a lot of company out there in the world. So somebody who's a late person might be trying and trying and trying to be on time, and it doesn't happen, and they don't understand why it doesn't happen. Well, somewhere in the unconscious mind, there's a commitment to something other than being on time. So, for instance, I've noticed in myself that there's a commitment to being efficient and getting things done, and that is how I stay safe in my life. And so that will have priority over my commitment to be somewhere on time. And so if I want to be somewhere on time, I have to really pull myself into that center of the fire and consciously select again and again and again a commitment to let go of whatever's going on in the subconscious mind and let go of feeling safe and come forward to be on time. If I told somebody I was going to meet them, be willing to look inefficient or like I didn't get something done that I should have gotten done and that makes that I'm bad or whatever. You know, we all have these things going on in the back of our minds that we don't even realize are going on that are really running our lives. So that's being the observer of self is what begins to bring all that forward in a way that we begin to be able to see it. And you can see it, and I've talked about this before, you can see it the way they know that the black holes are there by watching. They don't see the black hole, but they see things getting sucked in and disappearing. And so they say, oh, there's a black hole there, you know, when they look in space. So that's how we can see our lives. So we don't necessarily see what's going on in the subconscious mind, but if you look at how you're acting, being the observer of self, if you can see what's happening in your life, you can make some pretty educated guesses about what must be going on in your subconscious mind. So right now, I want to ask everybody to just stop in once more, feel your body, feeling your body. Just kind of dropping in and paying attention to your body. And I want to ask you to feel around the issue of safety. So drop in the same way that we did in the beginning of the phone call. So without needing to put words to it, just feeling how you feel about safety. And what would it really mean to be totally safe? Well, you know, safe is like, oh, I won't get my feelings hurt. I won't be physically hurt, you know. I'll be able to have a roof over my head and food in my mouth. It's all safe. But why did you put on a body and come here? It was not to be safe. You didn't say, well, I'm going to incarnate and be a baby and go through all those years and go through all the different wounding and then grow up and then work with undoing all that wounding in order to be safe. That wasn't why you came here. You didn't come here to be safe. So keep feeling into that feeling of what does it feel like to be safe? And what if you were willing to let go of that feeling of being safe? What if you're willing to let go of that? And if you were willing to, I don't know, be like on a surfboard, be on a skateboard, be rolling on the waves, and keeping your balance. And when you lose your balance, finding your balance again. What if you were willing to ride that seesaw up and down? And when things come up, you deal with them. So when we contract in order to stay safe, that contraction is a deadening and painful thing that we do. It's like we pull away. So it's like we put ourselves in this state that's actually a deadened, painful state in order to avoid being in a painful or deadened state. I mean, it's like, not doesn't really make sense, but to the mind, it seems like a good idea at the time. It's in that category, seemed like a good idea at the time kind of thing. And by now, as we become adults, it has become an MO. This is our just our every way modus operandi, our way of operating. And we don't even notice that we're doing it. So just feeling into what it feels like to be safe and asking yourself right now, asking yourself, would you be willing to let go of feeling safe and to see what enlivening experiences might come? Because I promise you, you will feel more enlivened if you can let go of it. And the degree to which you can let go of it, because it's all different degrees. So being willing to be present is the antithesis of wanting to stay safe. Being present, being the observer of self, and being present is about taking whatever comes as it comes. And being willing to just deal with it when it comes up. So there's only a few more minutes left in the show. So if anybody has any questions that you want to chat in the chat room, or if anybody wants to call in, again, the number is 347-324-3264. And then press 1, and it'll show me a little hand that says that you want to ask a question. And, there's 7 more minutes. So this is a key. Just sitting with that. And, you know, really sitting in your life more with what is. Being willing to just stop and be and sit with yourself. Less entertainment, more presence. And the more present you are, the less you'll need entertainment. And there are some nights when my partner David will come home and he says, well, you know, we just say, what are we going to do tonight? And we both say, let's get a movie. It was a tough day. Let's just go unconscious. So, you know, it's like if you're going to go unconscious, be present. Notice that you're needing to go unconscious and go, what happened that I feel like I need to go unconscious? What is it that takes place inside you where you're wanting your life to be about what's going on for the illusion person on the screen of the movie instead of about your own life, instead of coming forward in your own life? And what kind of movies do you choose? So a movie that chooses, a movie that you choose where it's going to give you something to really talk about that's going to stretch you afterwards, you know, that's different from a movie where you're really just going to go unconscious. And, you know, sometimes we need one and sometimes we're ready for the other. So there's like no judgment there, but just noticing, just that we want to, I mean, what does it mean to be awake? It just means to notice the choices that you're making in your life. So noticing, what do you do in your life? How much entertainment do you need in your life? Can you entertain yourself by being present with yourself? It's very entertaining, actually. I find it very entertaining. I feel like I am my own entertainment factory, I often say. Because inside each of us, we are so complex. And being present and being committed to being present with our own selves opens up that, it blossoms our own self to us so that we become able to enjoy ourselves and love ourselves in a way that we haven't been able to before. Very hard to love somebody that you're not being present with. It's a very conditional kind of love. When you be present with yourself, then it's a true kind of a love, an unconditional love. So there's just a few minutes left, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I want to encourage everybody to check out my website, spiritualintegration.com. I want to give myself a little plug and say that I have private sessions. In person, I have, with the people who are local to the Bay Area, I have Thursday night classes in Marin County. And I'm working on putting together a semi-private teleconference series for just 5 people. So it'd be very small and people would get very individual attention. And that is something that would have homework. And I'll talk about it again next week and maybe hopefully have some more details. So, in the future, I also expect to be having some of my fabulous friends and colleagues on who are experts in various healing modalities and in very unique ways. And I want to bring them to you so you can see what their work is doing and how their work follows our theme of helping people to connect deeply at a spiritually fulfilling level, even while you do your mundane life. And hopefully next week I'll be making an announcement about that, or I may even have somebody on as a guest next week. I may not know until the last minute. I don't usually know until the last minute what's going to actually be happening in the group. In the radio show. So again, thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you'll join us again next week. And if you're not able to join us live, I hope you'll listen to the archive, and please tell your friends about my show. I'm so happy to have you all joining us. Many blessings on all of you. Thank you again.
Your dream should never part. That's where the magic comes from. Keep them deep in the heart of your heart. They'll always be there, ready to come. Our love, just a love, a love. Really. To be alone. love unfettered, and after all.